Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Okay, good. We're coming back to the second. I'm not Eddie, I'm Fran Owen, trying to fill his shoes somewhat tonight. We've got an interesting program going on here tonight. We're playing some audio from a fella from South Africa named Jan Lumprecht. So far, it's been very interesting, and we've got about 20 more minutes of that audio to play, and we're going to get right back to it in just a minute. But first of all, we're going to let Miss Monica make a few comments, and then we're going to go to Miss Nancy briefly, and then we're going to play some more of the audio. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Sorry, I had to find the unmute button. I just forgot to go there first. Anyway, I just want to talk about this Bruderbund that he talks about, this secret society which the South Afrikaners had, and he talks about the intellectuals, the teachers, the university lecturers, the farmers, and I don't know if he is going to clarify it later in the audio. We'll find out, but I am very intrigued by this Bruderbund, because I'm a little bit uncertain as to, I mean, okay, so secret society, always in my mind, it evokes the image of, you know, Masonic Lodge, and those are Jewish controlled and run. Now, it doesn't sound like that's what it was. It sounds like this is strictly the white South Afrikaners who had their own secret society, this Bruderbund. But then the fact that they started this liberalism around 1986, he says, and that they concluded that whites would not be able to hold on to power. At least that's how I understood it. Nancy, after I'm finished commenting here, maybe you can tell me what you think about that. But I'm suspecting that possibly they just got infiltrated then by the usual suspects, the Jews, that they infiltrate everything. And then, you know, it turned it against them. What do you think?
Quite likely. Yeah, I would say so. But I will say this, Monica, and to the listeners, when I was in South Africa, it was like one white person for every 13,000 blacks. So you can understand that they are totally running against immense problems. I mean, the percentage is so far out of whack for these white people in South Africa. Of course, they're probably trying to read the tea leaves. Well, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to be taken over? Can we negotiate with these people? But I don't think negotiating with them is possible, because revenge is the only answer. It's do away with the white man, take his land, kill him, and eliminate the white man from either Rhodesia, South Africa, all of Africa. That's what they really want. So I don't know. They probably have been infiltrated to a certain extent. But after we get finished with the tape, I'd like to mention a book I have read that talks about the Afrikaners and their fight against the African National Congress. It's a book that I would recommend for people to read if they really want to understand what it is like to stand up and defend your country, being totally outnumbered as they have been in the Republic of South Africa. And they did not take it lying down. These people have put up a big fight, and they lost a lot of people. They acted in the way that it may come to this country to respond. They responded in the way the communists responded. In the way that the communists act in their violence. So whether one agrees with that or not, that is what the Afrikaner resistance movement did. in the 1994, after 1994, or maybe probably before that. But anyway, I don't doubt they've been infiltrated. No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd just like to say you made my point better than I did about why it wasn't necessary to have a whole lot of softening up over in South Africa when the white Christians were outnumbered. How much did you say?
When I was there, it was like 13,000 blacks to every one white.
Yeah, so you wouldn't need a whole lot of softening up to try to take on somebody like that. So that's maybe why they're coming at the Americas at a different angle as far as that concerned. But if y'all ready, we'll go ahead and get Cameron to start that audio back up. Go ahead, Cameron.
And European history. And that academic told me an interesting thing. He said to me that all Germanic whites, Germanic being a language construct, he said to me that going back into ancient times, all Germanic whites have got an apartheid component to them. They all insist on a type of apartheid. It is natural for the Germanics to think in that way. So in other words, the whites of South Africa are just normal Germanics in their way of thinking about things like apartheid. I myself have done some studies into apartheid as a white concept, and apartheid goes back to the Aryans who conquered India, and there's also apartheid of Romans and Greeks in ancient Egypt. There have been many kinds of apartheid that have been created by whites, even, let's call it, the southern European whites, the Romans and the Greeks, at various times had their form of apartheid. But when you're looking at Jews, you are looking at Jews moving around in a society. And when I look at what Jews did in South African society as they were moving around among whites, the Jews also befriended the blacks and worked on the blacks to turn the blacks against the whites and to make the blacks violent towards whites. That's very much a Jewish thing. I strongly suspect that the weaponizing of blacks and the turning of blacks towards violence against whites is a Jewish construct. It's very much a Jewish construct. I've picked this up from many different angles when I look into the past. But then the Jews also befriend the English, and they also try to find allies among the Afrikaners. And I've come to the conclusion that the Jews basically hunt for the misfits of society. They find all kinds of weirdos, weaklings, and misfits in society, in all shapes and forms, and they drag them into their Jewy world, and they embrace them, and they empower them, and they use them against other whites. So in that sense, when you see things like anti-apartheid heroes, if you look more closely at them, they are basically white misfits, degenerates, and outright weaklings and cowards even, and fools who were sucked into the Jewish world. And then the Jews empower them and give them a lot of publicity. And in so doing, the Jews also hide the fact that this is a Jewish project. Because then you start seeing all these white non-Jews who are prominent. And there are even a couple of idiotic Afrikaners who fall for the Jewish nonsense. And there are even some idiotic Afrikaners who then break away from their own people. And they become liberals and communists. And there are some of them that are out and about and very famous to this day. They are the degenerates and the fools of the Afrikaners who bought into Jewish crap. But when you see South Africa and you see English, English is not just the English from Britain, it is massively a Jewish influence. And another thing that I saw with regard to breaking down the whites, Jews went to great lengths over long periods of time on multiple fronts to break the whites, especially the Afrikaners. So what they did was they did communism in some cases, but then a huge chunk of the, quotes, good Jews then did liberal stuff. And they were pumping out tons and tons of liberal stuff and using liberalism to work away and undermine the Afrikaners and to undermine their morale and to break them down. But where I saw the most interesting stuff that I think was negative was the way that they chipped away at the morale of the Afrikaners when the Afrikaners wanted to fight. These liberals.
Okay, everybody, we're going to stop the audio. I tell you, Jan is nailing it. He's right again about these misfits. And, you know, sadly, there's no shortage of misfits right here in America now. I mean, we got folks wanting to be dogs. We got folks wanting to be cats. They're not a boy, they want to be a boy, they're not a girl, etc., etc.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
A Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Welcome back, everybody. And just to kind of reiterate and make another comment about the what Jan said about the misfits. I mean, my goodness, what we've done here in this country. I mean, really, if you think about it, and not in all cases, and I don't want to offend people out there, but we've made these misfits. We've made them preachers. We made them teachers, and they're certainly, without a doubt, politicians. So we're in a mess. I mean, it's an upside down society. It's total insanity, and we got to find a way out of it. But go ahead, Monica. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark. Just remember, Rand, though, who's created those misfits to a large degree anyway, with the programming through television and the movies and schools and whatnot. But I just wanted to amplify what Jan was just saying, because that last 5 minutes or so of audio that we heard from Jan Lamprecht is basically outlining the modus operandi, the MO of the Jews worldwide. I thought that was just really brilliant what he said. They hunt for misfits, degenerates, weaklings, cowards, and fools, and they empower them and give them publicity, and that's their MO. Anyway, let's go back and listen to the next part of this audio, and then we'll come back to comments more, but let's go right back to it, if
and
we may.
And Jews and these powerful Jewish English newspapers that are controlled indirectly by the Jewish Oppenheimers, who literally own the country and are the local representatives of the Rothschilds, they worked long and hard to chip away at the desire and determination of the white Afrikaners to fight for South Africa, to fight the blacks, to go to war and to defend the country. The Afrikaners had a very natural desire to defend their society, to see an enemy and to want to smash that enemy. But these white liberals, directed and controlled by these Jews, did all kinds of things to break down the morale of the whites. And there are books that they wrote, like there's a book called The Unpopular War. And if you look at these things, it's just Jewish chipping away, whining and crying, and just breaking down the morale of a healthy people who would otherwise pick up weapons and go and defend themselves and defend their nation. So Jewish influence on the whites and on breaking them down and on using things inside the country as well as their links to outside the country. You know, Jews also dragged in other Jews from America and other white communists from England and so forth. And they brought all these enemies into South Africa and helped them so that they could go and write nasty stories and tell nasty things about the whites. The Jews of South Africa, in my mind, unquestionably knifed the Afrikaans people in the back in the same way that they knifed the Germans in the back in World War I. They knifed the whites in the back, but they were subtle about it, and they did it over a long period of time, and the local whites never really saw them as an enemy, though the state at times would identify specific Jews as dangerous and would even try to kill some of them, like, for example, the Jew Joe Slovo, whose wife was killed in a bomb that was meant for him. And there is another Jewish judge, I forget his name now, he also suffered damage from a bomb that was intended to kill him. So the Afrikaans whites only went after the most militant communist Jews and white liberals that they saw as instrumental that they needed to kill. But otherwise, the rest of the Jews, they just regarded them as good citizens. But they didn't grasp that the Jew is busy undermining the morale of the people. So it's not so much sexual stuff, but there's lots of things. Another place where Jews undermined the morality of the whites was in the case of things like Sun City. Sun City is a South African Las Vegas. And it was actually a Las Vegas that was illegal inside South Africa. But because of apartheid and there being some black homelands that were independent and had their own constitution, you then had a Jew like Saul Kirzner going to that place. One of them was called Boputswana, and he went to Boputswana, and he set up a Las Vegas in Boputswana. So he had all the naughty sexual stuff, naughty gambling stuff, all the stuff that whites were not allowed to do in South Africa. Gambling was illegal, I think, in South Africa under apartheid. And all this other girly stuff was not allowed. So the Jew sets up the Las Vegas across the border in a black state. And then the whites end up, large numbers of whites, including these Christian whites, they eventually start going to Sun City for weekends and for holidays. And the vast majority of whites went to Sun City, the local Las Vegas, that was illegal in apartheid South Africa, but the Jew had set up his thing across the border. So, you know, the Jews have got many ways of just overcoming and breaking the rules, and they do that. Sun City exists to this day, but in the time of apartheid, it was a big attraction. And the whites eventually accept it, and then they say, oh, well, it's just capitalism, and we're against communism. So these Jews are always busy working away and changing the whites. And it's the same stuff they've been doing in America. So I think that's the best way that I can describe it. The blacks themselves are not into LGBTQ, but I think that they've been forced by Jewry and international globalists to openly say that they are for that. But I must tell you, deep down, blacks aren't really into that. Blacks in Africa may have their problems, but one thing they are very clear about, and that is that sex is between a male and a female. That is a very clear understanding that all blacks have. And they view any other kind of sex as degenerate. And there are even black leaders, even communists like Mugabe, who said that being gay is the next step after being gay is to have sex with animals, pigs and dogs. Robert Mugabe said that. He said the next step after gays is sex with pigs and dogs. He openly said that. And lots of blacks in Africa don't like gays, and they view it as creepy. They don't like gays. They don't like lesbians. The blacks, even in South Africa, have been known to gang rape lesbians. They go and gang rape them, and they call it corrective sex, because they view it as the fact that the woman doesn't know about sex. That's why she's a lesbian, and they're going to teach her what sex is. And in further north parts of Africa, they kill gays. They regard it as weird and creepy. So in Africa, the LGBTQ thing doesn't really fly. What very few people know is that a neighboring state, Botswana, which is a big ally of America and which used to be a British colony, that Botswana's president is a gay. He went to schools in Britain, and there's a lot of gay nonsense in Britain and weirdo Jewy influence there. And I've had people tell me that they think that the president of Botswana, you know, may have become gay through his schooling in England. There's an American preacher who also talks about the Jews. His name is Stephen something. I forget his name now. And he's done a thing about of the Jews and their lies. Anyway, he came to Botswana to come and minister to the blacks in Botswana. And among his ministry stuff was he was telling them that being gay is evil.
Okay, I hear the music, good people. And that's going to put a wrap on the second segment of the second hour of the Blood River Radio program for Saturday, November the 5th.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. We are still awaiting approval for an inoculation for babies.
A new RSV shot for newborn babies has been approved in Europe. The European Commission says it's approved a new drug developed by Sanofi and AstraZeneca that's meant to protect babies from getting the respiratory virus. The shot has yet to be approved in the U.S. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
With just 3 days to go until Election Day, Florida residents are faced with several key races heading into Tuesday, including the governor's race.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Some lucky person out there could be holding a Powerball lottery ticket worth $1.6 billion. The cash prize, if you opt for it, is about $782 million. The drawing is Saturday night. The San Jose woman says there's so much she could do with the money.
I'm going to do charity works. I'm going to travel. I'm going to give to families, give to all the people in need.
No one has hit all 5 numbers in the Powerball number in more than 3 months. The chance of winning is 1 in 292 million. Comedian and HBO late night host Bill Maher predicted that Republicans are definitely going to win a congressional majority in next week's midterm elections. Maher claimed the left has gone super crazy in ways that the average American doesn't understand and doesn't want. He made his comments while appearing on comedian Bill Burr's Monday morning podcast. The two talked pop culture, the Playboy Mansion, and politics, with Maher admitting that Republicans are going to do so well on Election Day next Tuesday.
See, I am very much a critic of what goes on the fringe of the left. I mean,
this
woke
is
culture
USA
has
Radio
just,
News.
That's one reason why the Republicans are going to do so well in this election, because the left has gone super crazy with lots of that the average American just never voted for, doesn't recognize in this country, doesn't want, and
pay attention to,
and doesn't.
Okay, folks, we're going into the third segment of the second hour. We're going to continue with our audio in just a minute, but you know, Jan, I mean, he's like, you know, this audio is like reading today's newspaper in a lot of aspects. I mean, just as he said, these evil ones, they're going to come at you at a lot of different angles. They're subtle about it. They're very deceiving. And that's what we're up against. They come at different segments of society at from different ways. I don't think there's any question about that. So, but
cunning, cunning is a good word for them.
Yes. Clever, oh, yeah. Cunning. Yes, absolutely. So, y'all, Monica, you and Miss Nancy got a comment or two, and then we'll go back to the audio.
Yeah. That last bit, what Jan was talking about, how the blacks, this LGBTQ thing didn't fly with them, doesn't fly with them. They still kind of have, I think, their natural response to the disgusting nature of these, you know, homosexual relations. But Nancy, why don't you brought this video to our attention. Why don't you talk about this video on YouTube about the response to of black leaders to the, was it CNN questions?
Oh, right. Yeah, it was really quite humorous. It was a CNN interview of black leaders. They were being questioned about, well, how they felt about gays, whether they were believed in mistreating them, whether they would accept them. And the people they were questioning were actually pretty important people in Africa, Ugandan president Mugabe, I guess before he died, the president of Kenya. And the things they said were things that a white man could never get by with saying. The Ugandan president said, with reference to the LBGQ, whatever they are, he says, of course they are disgusting. What they do is terrible. And then they have a Ugandan lawmaker that says, it's not a human right, and more or less we believe in protecting marriage. And as Jan said something about Mugabe, now he said something like, we are not gays. And again, they tried to pressure the president of Kenya, and he said, this is not, question about the gays is almost immaterial to running the country, and it was not, it's not a human right. So it was really quite, the CNN interviewers were really trying to pressure these people to come up with some better answers. But in the end, what was really shocking, Biden, let's see, our current crazy Caesar, he's interviewed. He says he wants to push this gay lifestyle internationally. So that's where we are.
Unreal.
Yeah, it is unreal. Miss Nancy, I wish we did, you know, after looking at that, viewing that YouTube video, I wish we did have some whites that would stand up and say some of the things that those black African leaders had to say. And I'm going to say this one more time for the audience. If you want to view that YouTube video, the entire thing, you can go to YouTube, Instant Regret. CNN did not expect his answer. And you can pull it up and you can view the whole thing. So if y'all ready, we'll go ahead and finish up the audio with Jan.
And he and his people ended up being thrown out of the country, and he couldn't understand it. But what he doesn't know is that in Botswana, it is known off the record that the president is gay. And so here's this Christian American, and he comes and he talks about all the evilness of gays, and these blacks are listening, but the president is a gay. But there's a lot of British and American influence there in that family that rules Botswana. So that may be where this gayness comes from. And that's the only gayness that I really know of in Africa. But among the common blacks, I can tell you gay and LGBTQ and all that doesn't make sense to them. But because the government tells them it's the right thing, they sort of say yes, but I don't think they take it very seriously. It flies very much against their natural instincts. So that's about as good as I can sort of summarize that issue. I hope that it gives you a little bit of guidance. But the real issue of South Africa is the breaking down of the Afrikaners. The Afrikaners were the ones holding the European values, etc. Nowadays, there's a lot of depression among these people. And one of the things that has gone backwards big time for the Afrikaners has been Christianity. There are lots of them that turned away from the church. There are many who turned away from the church but who remained Christian in their own way. But there are even small numbers of them who've become atheists. Atheism is something unknown to them, but I've come across actual atheists. The church was linked in a big way to the Broederbond. The Broederbond was Calvinist Christian, and the Broederbond saw Christianity as a very critical thing. And so after black rule, a lot of the Afrikaans church collapsed. But lots of people, the majority of whites, stopped going to church, but they are still Christian. But like I say, a small portion have even become atheist. So there are many changes that have taken place among the Afrikaners. And then there are now liberal influences. The Broederbond may have become liberal. But I think deep down, the Broederbond is still ultimately an Afrikaner organization looking to protect the Afrikaners. I still think that that thing still exists. Definitely, it's still there. And the Afrikaners do stick together. They've got a closed culture. And the advantage they have is their language. And they use it to great effect. The only negative is that they don't really talk outside their culture. That I see as a negative. And that's why I do lots of English stuff. Because there's good stuff among the Afrikaners. But they don't tell it outside of their communities. They hide their real feelings, but they are still very much there, and they are not as stupid or as weak as you might think. They are still there. They're very much a real force. They are still there. They're just silent, but they are still there, and they've not given up. So that's the best little summary I can give you. I hope that it gives you some things to ponder. But the white Afrikaners, the core of white South Africa is the white Afrikaner. And the white Afrikaner is going to be the determining factor in any future white moves in South Africa. If the Afrikaners decide to do something, then it will get done. And if they decide not to do something, then nobody else will do it. They are the Germans of South Africa. Whatever they decide, that's what will happen. And don't imagine that they are just going to abandon South Africa. They still look back on the Boer Republics, and they still have got designs for themselves in this piece of territory in southern Africa. And in that respect, they must be supported. All whites must support them, because they are not finished, and we've not reached the end of history of South Africa. The last chapter has not been written. The blacks and the Jews may think that they've won, but they haven't won. And the last chapter has not been written.
Okay, I guess that's a wrap on the audio. But you know, he's right again. I mean, these evil ones, they're doing the work of their father. And their father is the evil one. Their father is Satan. And of course, they're out to destroy Christianity. There's nothing new under the sun. This is, I hear the music, but there's nothing new under the sun. That's their whole goal, has been since the beginning of time. It's the same one. It's just a different time period. And we'll be back for our last sec momentarily.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Okay, everybody, this is our last segment of the second hour. And before we go any further, I just want to take a minute. I got a text from dear brother Eddie a while ago, and I just want to read it. I'm just going to read it to y'all. It says, "Dear brother, let my sisters know that y'all will be on my mind and my heart tomorrow as I run in the New York Marathon. It's going to be hot, 74 degrees. And he goes on to say, tell all the Blood River Radio family that I love them dearly. And then he says, love Eddie. So I just wanted to take a moment and read that. And you know, we were talking about the evil ones and all the confusion that they can create. You know, this has been going on. Eddie reads it all the time. But just for reference, people, to pinpoint who exactly that we're talking about when we say the word Jew, go to John 8:44. Just read it for yourself. Go to Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 and just read it for yourself. They're imposters. They've been around. And if anybody out there that's listening's got a strong concordance, you probably already know that the very words in these chapters and verses pinpoint exactly who these evil ones are, where they come from, who their father is, and who our father is, as far as that goes. Because there's one more word that I want to mention, and it's Kenites. It's in the scripture. Look it up for yourself. And getting back to the strong concordance, the very word Kenite itself means sons of Cain. And if you ever figure out exactly where Cain come from in the real story of the Garden of Eden, it wasn't about a fruit. It wasn't about an apple. But it was about a entity slipping in and creating the sons of Cain, the lineage of Cain, which isn't from our father, but from the evil one's father. But anyway, I know I'm rambling on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off track on a Bible study. But anyway, forgive me for that. But anyway, Monica. If you're ready, go ahead and comment a little bit while we still have some time on what Jan had to say.
Yeah, thanks, Ren. He was talking about the Botswana president being a gay himself, and then he made mention of he had a lot of schooling in England. Now, here's the thing. I am aware that at a lot of these boarding schools, I'm sure it happens elsewhere too, but I've particularly heard about in the English boarding schools, you know, schools for all boys and whatnot, that there is an awful lot of sodomy going on to those little boys. Like, this is, you know, basically the rape of the children. And what happens with that is it's much more than a physical injury and assault. It actually rewires the brain of that child. When this is done to a small child, this rewires the brain in a way that is irreversible. It does permanent damage to that child. This is a very deliberate thing that is done to children, and this is relevant in today's day and age, when the goal, you know, first it started with gay rights, then it went on to tranny rights and you know, LGBTQ, what XYZ, whatever else, letter rights, but it's leading to pedo rights. Like, they want to normalize and legitimize and legalize pedophilia, going after children, the rape of children. Eddie always talks about solutions, that we need solutions. Well, the thing that comes to my mind right now is take your children out of the public school system, because their minds are being poisoned there. And,
amen,
you know,
Monica.
Yeah, be aware. Go ahead, Ron, sorry.
No, I said amen, Monica. I'm just amen.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I'll just make...
Get them out of there. I'm with you. Get them out of there.
Yeah, I'm going to make a couple more comments, then give Nancy a chance to comment. This is something I want to make sure I don't forget to talk about. If people would please keep Jan Lamprecht in their thoughts and prayers, because it's about 2 weeks ago now that he had quite a serious accident. He fell off of his roof. He was doing some kind of a repair. I'm not sure what exactly he was doing, but he fell off the roof. It could have been much, much, much more serious. Could have ripped his fingers off, the way he described it, but he actually is healing quite well. His head cracked open. Like, I saw pictures of the scalp that had quite the, you know, crack open, and so concussion probably. Anyway, just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. This is the man whose audio we have just heard, who really gives quite, you know, he's a brilliant historian. So that's what I wanted to say about, just to wrap up my thoughts on the audio we heard, and I'll hand it over to you, Nancy.
Okay, I would just like to recommend two books, excellent books that can be purchased from the Barnes Review. I've read them both, and I can highly recommend them. If you are interested in the stand that the Afrikaners have made against the, actually against the communists in South Africa, against the ANC, an excellent book by a Rhodesian by the name of Arthur Kemp, K-E-M-P, is titled Victory or Violence, The Story of the AWB of South Africa. Now, AWB is an Afrikaner word meaning the Afrikaner Resistance Movement. And as I mentioned before, these people took action. They did not sit and wait for something to happen. They organized, and they did some bombing. They tried to defend their land. They paid heavy prices for their actions. This is called Victory or Violence, The Story of the AWB of South Africa by Arthur Kemp. Another excellent book, which I just purchased. I knew that our precious Mandela, who is considered a black martyr in America, he was a communist, and people, you know, were crying about the fact that he spent so many years in prison at Robben's Island. But the fact is that he was involved in sabotage, hoping to overthrow the white government, and he, along with quite a few other blacks and Jews were apprehended, and they were put on trial at Rivonia. And the book is absolutely excellent and exposes how many Jews were involved in the early 1960s, and even before that, of course, but how they were operating within South Africa to do all these this violence against the government. And the book is called Rivonia Unmask, the South African Warfare. South African Warfare, the State's Case Against Nelson Mandela, 1964. With two new appendices, Mandela lied to the world. He was a South African Communist Party Central Committee member, and Mandela's Jewish involvement in the Rivonia plot. And there were loads of them. The book is by Lorenz Strydom, Strydom. Lorenz Strydom. But both of these books are excellent. If you're interested in finding out more about what has happened in the Black Takeover, also the terrorist activities of the communists, and how they attempted to overthrow the white government, and ultimately how the government, of course, fell. But the Afrikaners could be used as a guide to our own people, this one about victory or violence, as to how to take a stand within this country. Because the Afrikaners didn't sit around and wait for something to happen. And that's about it. I just can recommend these two books. I've read them both, and they were excellent.
Well, Miss Nancy, I'd just like to say I think that book fits right into our last several shows here on Blood River Radio, where we've been talking about tactics that we can use, and as Eddie says, classes, pretty much things that we're going to need to know and do for our survival. And I think this book that you just mentioned fits right in to those previous shows.
I agree.
And I'd just like to take a second to thank you for all of you. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. It can't be said enough. I want to thank you for all of your research, all your work, all the things that you put out there on the emails that give us the opportunity to kind of get ready for the shows. Same to you, Monica. Thank you so much for all you do, and all that your efforts in this struggle. And I don't know how much time we got left, but I'd like to say a closing prayer. And if there's any time remaining, if y'all got a comment or two, you'll be welcome to do it. But before we run out of time, if y'all would, let's bow our head and let's get ready to close this show going to prayer to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for tonight. We want to thank you for this evening. We want to thank you for the people that's been on this show, Miss Nancy, Monica, Cameron. We want to thank you for Liberty Broadcasting Network, the broadcasting network that allows this message to be delivered as it is delivered every single Saturday evening from 4 to 6. We want to thank you for that opportunity, Lord. We want to thank you for that blessing. And Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to be with us through this struggle. I pray that you would allow more people to recognize our enemy and help us defeat them, Lord. Help us defeat them. These things I want to pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Folks, that's going to wind the show up. It's been an honor to be on here for Eddie. I hope I've done at least decent. And thank you all so much. Thank you, Miss Nancy. Thank you, Monica, again. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, all the listeners, the donors. And see you next week, 4 to 6, Liberty Broadcast.